KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
And welcome in to ABQ Connect, Jim Williams in studio today with Steve McKee. I want to wish everybody a happy continued Independence Days here in our fine United States. Hope you all had a nice celebration, some good food to eat yesterday. Steve was with us a couple of weeks ago. He is the president of McKee Wallwork and Company, and they are a marketing and advertising firm, handle a lot of national clients. When Steve was here last, we talked about New Mexico and marketing New Mexico against states like Texas and Arizona and Colorado, Steve. And the question that you emphasize more than one thing is every time there is a public policy decision, does it make us more competitive? So I'm going to ask you, 10 days or 2 weeks since you've been here, are we more competitive today?
Your timing is good because we just started a new fiscal year, July 1st in the state. And actually, we are less competitive.
Than we were 2 weeks ago.
Than we were 2 weeks. Now, you could make an argument. So we had some tax law increases. The excise tax on car sales went up. Cigarette tax went up. You could argue that that's a good thing because it's a sin tax. You know, some people would and they believe that way. And you know, taxes are going up in order to pave roads in southeastern New Mexico where the revenue's coming from. So one could make a case that long term we're more competitive because we're going to have better roads. One could make a case that we had a $1 billion surplus, so we could have done that anyway. But the truth is, I don't want to say what the truth is. One fact is that our taxes are higher today than they were 10 days ago. And as companies from around the country look at that, that goes into the spreadsheets and
makes us less competitive.
Makes us less competitive.
Makes it more expensive for them to do business here. Yes. It was interesting after we spoke with you, we also talked with Todd Christensen, who is the director of the New Mexico Film Office. And Todd was talking about all these great incentives and all these really cool sexy, if you will, movie stars that are in the state. And this was really great for all the tourists and all of us who want to go out and see, you know, the stars of Never Call Saul and all these kind of things. I mean, it is kind of fun. It really is. It's fun to go see these people and you get to see them on TV and somehow it feels okay. But no one that I have spoken with, and this is not Todd's venue, but no one that I've spoken to can tell me. Nobody can give me an accounting. Okay, we do all of these incentives. How much is that actually returning to our state?
I hope we can do a show on that because that's a really big topic, and there is much controversy about the film tax credits. I'm not an expert in it, but it is rather fascinating that it seems to be one industry where people are it's kind of exciting, right? It's Hollywood, and that might be blinding us a little bit, that if we were giving the same tax breaks to plastics manufacturers or something more mundane, would people have the same look at it? So we should probably talk about that in more detail when we get a chance, because there's a lot to it.
And so what we are going to talk about, and again, summarizing what we did last time, was we really talked about New Mexico and how to maybe market New Mexico and what that might take. But then there's all kinds of political obstacles. So now we came back to a strategy where we're going to say, okay, a lot of Christians listening to our program. Should Christians get involved in politics?
Yeah, I could just see people turning up their radio. Right? Boy, everybody has an opinion on that one, don't they? I have an opinion, too. First of all, let me say that government is not the answer, right? Jesus is the answer to our problems. Pretty much every social ill, every economic ill, you can trace back to sin. It's really kind of a fascinating thought piece to do that. And so the goal is, of course, to evangelize the world and spread the good news, because that's where the answers are. Having said that, should Christians get involved in politics? There's a very simple answer, and that is we are. So you don't get a choice. We are. And the reason I say that is because I looked up the origin of the word politics last week, and it's really there's sort of the mechanical definition, which is, you know, what goes on in Washington, D.C. and in Santa Fe. But the word actually is a Greek word. It refers to the affairs of the city. Uh-huh. And the modern definition of politics is the total complex of relations between people living in a society. So we have politics at work. We talk about office politics. Everybody gets that. It's what goes on in the office. We have family politics. Everybody gets that. And we are all living in our society. And so we are all, by definition, involved in politics, we don't have a choice. The only choice is whether we're going to be actively involved or passively involved, and whether we're going to try to affect positive change or allow change to happen to us. There's really no other choice than that.
So I'll probably get in trouble going here, but I start to think about why people avoid getting involved in politics. And I can't help but think about the rhetoric yes. coming from both sides
Everywhere.
Of the aisle. You know, I hear the word sanctuary coming a lot from the Democratic Party. You know, we're now a sanctuary city in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And somehow that's supposed to imply that you're really safe here and you're everything's okay. But number one, we have a whole bunch of refugees that come in to the community. And the next thing I'm reading is that Michelle Lujan Grisham, our governor, has shipped a bunch of these refugees to Colorado without notifying them. And that seems, you know, a little odd. Again, no criticism intended, but there's not enough information out there and nobody's disseminating that information so that we can actually understand what's going on. So if you are a gracious person and yeah. you invite five new people into your house to eat food and drink water and use the facilities, that is going to be an expense to you. Now, when you start thinking about it on large scales, 400,000 or 500,000 new people coming into the state, as because we're a sanctuary state or a sanctuary city, that becomes very expensive. And practically, how do we pay for that? Anyway, how do Christians even take a stand? How do they know what to get involved with?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the point. Sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, immigration is a big issue right now. And there are a lot of strong opinions on all sides of the issue. So as believers, it's up to us as to whether we have a responsibility to inform ourselves and develop an opinion and advocate for that position. So, you know, I don't know that today it's really the purpose of what we're trying to do to solve an issue or to take a position on the issue. My point is simply, one, we can't be fooled by the clever use of language. I'm an ad guy.
Uh-huh.
I understand the clever use of language.
Sure.
So the word sanctuary, you know, in this case, they're using it, the Second Amendment people are using it now too. We can talk about that. Is a clever use of language. We can't be fooled by that. And we also shouldn't be snowed by sound bites or video clips or everything, all the modern tools of communications that people use to convince us. I was just having a conversation at lunch with somebody about single payer health care. And that whole is another really big issue that involves compassion. It involves Christian principles. It involves economic principles, all kinds of things. And there's good conversations to be had, but not an inch deep. If you only go an inch deep, we end up with what we end up with cable TV and the talk news show and the, you know, we're just at fisticuffs, the different sides. So as believers, more than anybody, we all know about being Bereans, right? Acts 17:11,
yes.
That the Bereans were faithful to go back to the word to see if these things were so. It's really a similar principle. We are obliged to understand the world in which we're living as believers, I believe, and to act accordingly, whatever is consistent with our conscience and also behave accordingly. We can talk about what that looks like as well. I think one of the reasons people, Christians, don't want to get involved in politics is because the mental picture you get when you talk about that is immediately very ugly. You get the extremes and you get the yelling at each other and you get the just the awful part of it. But I believe the reason we get the awful part of it in our minds is because so many of us are not involved. So many of the people who are like reasonable. And if we were all engaged all the time, I think it'd be a lot better.
So as Christians, we can go in and read the word of God. But I don't think there's a word of politics. Or I had Dr. R. Downs in on Wednesday and there's not a book on supplements and so on and so forth. So you have to know where to research this and where to look. And Steve McKee is with us in studio this afternoon here on ABQ Connect. We're going to be back with more with Steve right after these messages from our sponsors.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextraction.com. RadyMixExperts.com.
Duke City Ready Mix is all about quality on every load and delivering that quality when we say we will, equating it to the best service in the valley. Our goal is to enhance our communities with self-sustaining families through employment at Duke City and giving back to the communities who have given so much to us. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community. The premier concrete, sand, and gravel company in the valley. Contact us at 877-5777 or at QualityMattersHere.com.
A Harvest America moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
You know, when our son Christopher was called home to heaven, it was devastating for us. It just rocked our world. And so I reached out to fellow pastors and other wonderful people I know, and they were a great encouragement to me. I would just say, help me. I'm struggling. I have these questions. I had questions like anyone has questions. I also reached out to other people who had lost children, because knowing that there was someone that had somehow survived this was comforting to me when I was in that first stage of it. And so don't waste your pain. God allowed you to go through that for a reason. So use that to help other people, because the Bible says comfort with a comfort that you have been comforted with.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
You are listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams and Steve McKee in studio with you here from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. If you'd like to give a call to the studios this afternoon and talk with Steve McKee, president of McKee Wallwork and Company, you can call us at 505-338-5790. That's 338-5790. Steve, second question, is politics really relevant, or should we focus more on eternal things?
Boy, that sounds really good. Focus on eternal things. You know, this is one of my frustrations, and I don't know why I'm so interested in politics. Some people are interested in surfing, you know. But if it's true, as I said, you know, in the last segment, that it's about eternity. That's why we're here, right? The Lord right. put us here. That goes without saying. But if as a believer I was to say to you, I feel like God is calling me to open a hospital in Africa or start an orphanage somewhere, you would say, that's wonderful. How can I help? You know, you would think it's a wonderful thing. But if I was to say to you, I believe I should get involved in politics, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a recoil. And I submit that it's the same thing, because when you're opening a hospital or an orphanage, what are you doing? You're ministering to people's earthly needs, their fleshly needs, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
In the name of Christ, to get them to, I mean, if somebody is lying in a hospital bed in a great deal of pain, it's, you know, it may not be as easy for them to listen to the gospel versus if they're healthy. Or same thing with children. You know, you want stable homes, and that's why we do that. The same thing is true of politics. If you think about, take an extreme example, the former Soviet Union versus modern America. We just celebrated 4th of July, right? People live and die based on who their leaders are. I mean, not only did Stalin kill millions of people in the gulags, but just the lousy economics, the poor healthcare that resulted from it, the alcoholism that came about because people didn't have jobs and meaning in their life, serious issues. And when you look at what's going on in New Mexico, if you look at the substance abuse problems we have here, if you look at the spousal abuse problems we have here.
Children's health.
CYFD and all the issues we have there. Those are intimately related to our politics because, for example, if you have a job that you not only are earning a good wage from but are feeling fulfilled with or good about your life, you're probably less likely to become an alcoholic or abuse your spouse, right? These things are all related. And so should Christians, you know, is politics really relevant? It's as relevant as any other earthly ministry, and in some respects, perhaps more, because there's a multiplicator effect that the decisions we make in the realm of politics affect every other realm, the social, the moral, the economic, and so forth. So I think it's extremely relevant. There was a quote from Francis Schaeffer, who I just, you know, mm-hmm. brilliant theologian, probably the best theologian of the 20th century. And he actually said this. I wrote this down because he said, here's the sentence to memorize. Okay. That's like calling your attention to it. He said, to make no decision in regard to the growth of authoritarian government is already a decision for it. Now, wow. He was largely talking about, that was during the Cold War years. He was largely talking about the Eastern Bloc countries. And when you say authoritarian government, that's kind of like one of those words like sanctuary. It's loaded with emotion. But the principle is, do you want more government or less, better government or worse? Those are the questions before us. And as Schaefer says, to make no decision in regard to that is to make a decision for it. So we don't get off the hook.
So I'm going to deviate a little bit from the questions that we kind of prepared beforehand and ask you this. So the average American, and I'm going to speculate here, I'm not making up any stats. You know, they say most public speakers that use statistics that 33 1/3% of those are made up on the spot. I'm not going to do that to you today. But here's my question. So I know a lot of people will go work an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
They will get home and normally they're going to turn on the radio or they're going to turn on the TV. They're going to be preparing dinner. And I would say that the majority of people aren't going to sit down and spend 30 minutes reviewing articles or journals about these topics that we're talking about. They're not even going to seek out what are the reliable sources. Now, they might go Google politics in New Mexico, and then you're going to get 8,000 different things, and who sure. knows whether those are reliable or not. So where do we go if we make the decision that politics is relevant and we do need to focus on this because it has to do with eternal things?
Mm-hmm. I guess I would answer that in two ways. There's the where we really should go is we should be plugged into the flow continually, which doesn't mean you have to spend a half hour every day doing things. But if you pay attention in general and you read things that interest you and you listen and you will develop a understanding of current events. That's something that, you know, we probably all should do, but we should probably all do a lot of things. At a minimum, here comes an election. At a minimum, we should prepare an understanding of who or what it is we're voting for or against, not based on how cool they are, how attractive they are, what party they belong to necessarily, although parties play a big role in helping to identify people, but what the issues really are. And what's so tragic about our current culture is we've gotten, I say we collectively, we've gotten really good at soundbiting things. So I could run a radio commercial that could make you believe one way, or I could run a radio commercial that could make you believe another way if you're not informed. And we're good at manipulating emotions and the whole thing. And so we just have to be careful. We have to be discerning. We have to be wise. So at a minimum, make your vote a very informed vote. But all Christians should be spending time with the Lord every day as well and reading his word.
So let's talk about that.
That comes first.
Let's talk about that. Does the Bible condone or discourage political involvement?
You can't not. The Bible is the political. I mean, there is no section of the Bible that isn't politics. If you look at anything from, Moses is the great lawgiver, right? How do we live together? Here's the law. Uh-huh. And then you got the period of the judges, which is politics. These are the people who, you know, made the decisions. And then you have the period of the kings and the wicked kings and the good kings and the bad kings. And then here comes, you know, Jesus, who's the ultimate fulfillment of the law. And you go to individual stories like Queen Esther, you know, you were born for such a time as this. And I think so many people sort of misquote or you know, they say, oh, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. First of all, that verse is so often taken out of context.
Sure.
It described a specific event in the New Testament having to do with paying a specific tax. But think about this. Render unto God, unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. In America, Caesar, if you will, is our Republican form of government, not democratic. We're not a democracy. People always.
We're a republic.
We're a republic. So in America, it's our Republican form of government, which means that Caesar is you and I, because we decide who gets elected and makes the laws. So to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's is to be engaged in the political process in America.
Nice logic. I love it. Why doesn't the church in America involve itself in politics?
Yeah, I think there are two reasons for that, primarily. I think, and they're kind of opposite, but the same. I think on the one hand, some people think that it's somehow against the Constitution for believers to be involved in politics, which is this twisted understanding that the other side, the enemy really has foisted upon us, that somehow it's against the Constitution for Christians to be involved in politics. I want to come back to that. The second reason is people think it's against the Bible for believers to be involved in politics. That's what we've been talking about.
Yes.
You can kind of get to either extreme, and I think both extremes are incorrect. As I said, you can't help but be involved in politics. But we have been conditioned to sideline ourselves in America for a variety of reasons. One of them is simply our tax code. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say pastors should be up there preaching politics and telling you who to vote for, but certainly moral issues. And one of the reasons pastors don't tell you who to vote for, again, I'm not saying they should in all cases, some cases perhaps, is because of the tax code, because church will lose its tax exempt status and that'll affect our
tithes. And that's not really a Christian unbeliever thing. It's a 501c3 mandate that when you have a nonprofit organization, you are not allowed to publicly endorse a candidate or have them in your pulpit unless you're going to have all of the candidates.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can have all the candidates in. And now a pastor could say, I'm voting for so-and-so. That's legal. But you just can't ask the congregation to endorse a certain candidate.
Yeah, and I really have a lot of respect for pastors. There's a fine line to walk on this because it would be easy. The pastor's job is to preach the gospel, right? And the pastor's job is to be the pastor of the church, not to get people elected or not elected. And so I have great respect for pastors who don't use their pulpit as a political weapon. I don't think that would be appropriate. But I also think a lot of times we err really, really very much on the side of caution, which is, I mean, in some cases, in some mainstream denominations in America today, you know, they're pro-choice and they're
right.
They've got some really unbiblical positions.
Sure.
In other cases, we're a little bit afraid of it. And I just don't think we need to be. See, I think we sideline ourselves because we see this huge line of demarcation between the church and the state, which is a misnomer. I don't know how much time we have.
we're gonna take a break right now. Okay. In fact, if you want to talk to us and give us your opinion about some of these matters, please call us at 505-338-5790. Again, 505-338-5790. Hit the KNKT studios. Jim Williams in studio with Steve McKee. More with Steve right after these messages.
Mark your calendar for the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home Annual Barbecue, Saturday, August 10th from 11 to 2. Tour the cottages, meet the house parents, and enjoy great food. The GTO Car Club, activities for the kids, and live music from Vintage. The Albuquerque Christian Children's Home Annual Barbecue, August 10th. Tickets and information at 898-5520 or acchkids.org. That's 898-5520 or acchkids.org.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned, children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
The marks of a Christian are self-control and self-discipline.
That can be tough, but Billy Graham reminds us that we have the perfect example to follow.
Jesus was tempted. Three strong temptations the devil threw at him in the wilderness when he was hungry and tired and thirsty. And each time, Jesus threw it back in his face, but he didn't argue with the devil. He simply quoted Scripture. Satan can be defeated when you are filled with the Spirit of God, obeying God in the center of His will, and quoting Scripture. Are you willing to say no, no matter what the cost? Then say yes to the claims of Christ.
Want to learn more? Then check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
So, Steve, before the break, we're talking about why the church kind of retreats from political involvement. What are the two main reasons we're not involved in politics?
Because two misnomers. One, we believe that being involved in politics is somehow against the Constitution. or being involved in politics somehow against the Bible or counterproductive. And I think both are misnomers. At the extremes, both are true, but generally speaking, both are misnomers. And it's just easier for people to say, I don't watch the news. I check out. But I think that's an abdication of our responsibility.
So here's one of the things that we feel like is a violation. What is this rhetoric about the separation between church and state?
Yeah. The enemy, and I'm talking about our spiritual enemy, is really, really smart. And he has been very good at, over a very long period of time, chipping away at our constitutional rights. So we have the United States Constitution, a very short document that gives the federal government certain powers, and all the powers not there are reserved for the states. It passes only because they agreed to pass then what became the Bill of Rights to protect personal rights. Okay. The First Amendment to the Bill of Rights begins with the Religious Freedom Clause, which says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, but notice a few things. First five words, Congress shall make no law. So that amendment is about Congress. It's not about anything else. It's not about state houses. It's not about city councils. It's not about people. Secondly, respecting an establishment of religion, which at the time meant a state church, like the Church of England, a government-endorsed church. The First Amendment was written to protect the church, not to protect the government. That because once the state and the church become intertwined, both become corrupt. So nobody's talking about that. But then that third piece, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, is kind of the mess we're in today. And this whole idea of separation of church and state came from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist. It's somewhat famous, where it was a very short letter, a couple of paragraphs, and he referred to this wall of separation between the church and the state. Interestingly, in the context of the letter, if you read it, he was talking about protecting the church from state overreach, not protecting the state from church overreach, but that's just a historical aside. Thomas Jefferson wrote that letter. I'm going to get the facts not exactly right, so forgive me. Say it was on a Thursday. I don't know when it was. That weekend, and every weekend thereafter while he was president, he went to church in the capital of the United States. The church service was held in the rotunda of the capital of the United States. This is the guy who wrote the Declaration of Independence, who is credited with the phrase, the wall of separation, and he had no problem going to church inside the capital. So clearly, it doesn't mean what people think it means today, that any whiff of religion associated with government is somehow unconstitutional. We've gotten very, very far away of the true roots of that statement.
But somehow, I hear now, happening in our schools and other things, that the Christian organizations carrying Bibles to school, if you're a high school child or anything like that, is prohibited. But if you want to bring a Koran onto the campus, or you want to, have any other kind of religious type meeting, as long as it's not Christian, that's allowed. And I find that confusing.
Well, I find it confusing too. I mean, there's a whole lot of jurisprudence that's been very confusing over the years because they're not being consistent with the principles of the Constitution. The framers were really, brilliant people. They set the words down in the Constitution for the way things ought to be. And then they also put a provision in there for later on, if you don't like this, you can change it through the amendment process. Really pretty straightforward. And yet we have tried to shortcut that in so many ways. And really beginning in 1963, when the Supreme Court outlawed school prayer, this is when this whole thing began. Not entirely. But we are way out of whack with the whole separation of church and state thing. So I simply say to believers, look, nobody should want to establish a state church or for the church to take over the state. I mean, that is a recipe for tyranny. We don't want to go there. But for you to think that you should somehow set aside your deepest convictions, your deeply held beliefs, in order to be able to participate in the political process is crazy. Non-believers don't do that. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a religion. You can't separate that from what you advocate and the decisions you make. And yet we as Christians somehow think that, oh, well, I can't do that.
But you will see any candidate, Democrat or Republican, that has Christian beliefs will incur criticism during the campaign.
They will.
That doesn't happen with any other type of faith.
Not as much because people, yeah, for a variety of reasons. I mean, ultimately because Christianity is true and Jesus is real and the enemy doesn't want that to be advanced in any way. I mean, that's ultimately the reason. That's why I say everything you can do is you can trace back to sin. But I think we need to get over what happens is we get angry and we get offended that we are shut out of the political process because of our faith. And then what can happen is we will respond in anger. And that's why you see some abuses on our side versus just saying, look, if I was president of the United States and I want to pray before the State of the Union address, that is not unconstitutional, right? I could totally do that. Or you name it. We are free to express our faith in every aspect of life and society, including politics. And we should be comfortable with that and not defensive about it.
And I have to say, yesterday, in celebrating the independence of our nation, I thought about those things that you just made statements about. Even though there's infringements now, we still have those freedoms, and that's an amazing thing.
We do for now, but this is one of the things that I'm concerned about. There's an organization that conducts an annual State of the First Amendment survey, and they found that more than 20% of Americans today think the First Amendment goes too far, meaning you hear things like we should outlaw hate speech, and there have been a couple high-profile cases before the Supreme Court dealing with religious freedom. And it used to be, up until maybe a year or two ago, that all the talk about the amendment that was under threat was the Second Amendment, right? The First Amendment is actually under arguably as greater threats than the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment's pretty black and white. I mean, it's either, you know, guns or not.
Right.
First Amendment, there's five freedoms: religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. People don't understand it as well. And when you say things like hate speech should be outlawed, that sounds good. That's another one of those word things. But constitutionally speaking, there's no such thing as hate speech. Constitutionally speaking. Non-constitutionally, sure, there's horrible things and people shouldn't say them, but to make them illegal is a slippery slope to the gulag.
More with Steve McKee. Call us at 338-5790, area code 505. Again, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to add to the conversation or ask a question, give us your opinion. Even if it's not one that you think we would concur with, we'd love to hear from you here on KNKT. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Back into ABQ Connect. 505-338-5790 is our phone number if you'd like to talk to us a little bit about Christians involved with politics or just politics in general. Feel free to call us and give us your opinions. Steve McKee in studio with Jim Williams. And Steve, what misnomers do we as Christians have about politics and political issues?
Yeah, there are many. The first being what we were just talking about, that somehow we are sidelined because of our faith. The whole separation of church and state misunderstanding, that's a really big one. I do also think that, as we were talking about earlier, you know, like somehow political involvement being unchristian is a misnomer. There is definitely an unchristian way to be involved in politics, but we're not talking about that, just involved in general. But another misnomer that often gets thrown at us is that you can't legislate morality. You've heard that.
I've heard that statement.
You can't legislate morality. The truth is, you can't not legislate morality, because every law is a codification of morality, if you think about it. Even a tax increase, somebody's judgment is that either somebody's not paying enough or we ought to raise taxes to do something. There's an element of morality in there, and certainly with the social issues. Murder is illegal. I don't think anybody argues with that. That's based on the moral code, right? There is no law that is not a codification of morality. So saying you can't legislate morality is actually, what somebody's saying is, I don't want you to legislate something that's against my morality. That's the real thing they're saying. And so we shouldn't be distracted by that. Another one is this whole idea of the Constitution being a living document. That sounds very good. The Constitution is a living document that should change with the times. After all, it's 2019. As we said earlier, the framers set up the Constitution, had a very concrete and specific meaning, and they put a mechanism in there for changing it. So, I mean, it was all taken care of. If the Constitution can mean anything, by definition, it means nothing. So we have to go back to the original meaning of the Constitution, and we have a social compact in America, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. We have to live by that. And if we don't like it, we pass an amendment. And there are many amendments to the Constitution, right? We outlawed slavery and gave women the right to vote. And there's been plenty of changes over time that the framers intended for it to work that way.
So let me simplify this. So you're a Christian person and you're living next to a Muslim mm-hmm. family, and you have interest in your neighborhood being safe and your street being paved and your plumbing working. Can you, as a believer, work with another person and love them and care about them even though they don't agree with you?
Of course you can. Why would we think that it's different in politics than if you grew carrots and they grew radishes, you couldn't trade across the back fence, right? And you're working with them in that case. Of course you can. In fact, that is our witness, is by interacting with other people. And I dare say there's 330 million people in America. There are 330 million opinions.
Right? Yes.
No two of us agree.
You mean
on
everybody's a weatherman?
Yeah. Everybody's got their own opinion. So that's the whole point, is to work together. And that's the whole point of a healthy politics, is where you and I can disagree. We will probably agree on the goal almost all the time. Everybody wants everybody to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser, right? Pretty much. Where we disagree is on the means, and that's the point of the political system. But we can disagree agreeably, and we can all those things. And as Christians, we ought to lead the way in demonstrating how to do that. We really ought to do that. That is a wonderful way to engage with our neighbors if we do it properly. I want to get to one other misnomer, because it's really, really current right now. And this idea with the presidential campaign kicking off, do you believe we're saying that? A year and a half out? It's crazy. And that's the idea of what is and what isn't a right. And there's a lot of banter being thrown around about healthcare being a right. I just like to clear this up once and for all, that it's not, and it can't be, and I'll explain why. It is a good. We want it, right? I've never met anybody that doesn't want everybody to have good healthcare. So again, we're agreeing on the goal. But a right, a natural right, which are not granted by government, they are protected by government, they come from God, they precede government, a natural right can't cost money. So think about this. Here's why. Because my rights stop at the tip of your nose. I don't know if you've heard that expression.
I have not.
Meaning, I have the right to free speech, but I don't have the right to lie about you. You know, I have the right to bear arms, but I don't have the right to leave it around your kid, right? Your little infant crawling
sure.
around. So there's responsibilities come with it. But none of the natural rights that we have cost money, which means even if I have no resources, I still have those rights. Anything, housing, a job, healthcare, anything that costs money is a problem, because if I can't afford it and yet it's my right, that means I'm making you pay for it, and that's infringing upon your rights. So definitionally.
So you're making me pay for it via taxes or something. Well, however, the government.
Yeah. So definitionally, something that costs money can't be a right. Doesn't mean it's not a good. Doesn't mean we don't want it. It's just not a right. And part of our civics these days is so our civic discourse is broken because our candidates will say, when I'm president or when I'm governor, I'll make healthcare a right. There's many things wrong with that statement, not the least of which is our rights don't come from government. They come from God. They're natural rights, and government is instituted to protect them. That's very clear in all of Western civilization, to say nothing of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So that's another misnomer that it sounds good as Christians because we want to take care of one another, and we should, but we just can't be confused by the language. We have to be discerning.
Steve, a lot of this basically comes down to money and who's going to manage it. And I've read various articles, but there are people, in my opinion, that are gifted to manage money. And I'm always fascinated that you bring a very talented public speaker that's really awesome and they become president, but they may not actually know anything about managing money.
Yeah, economics.
So it would seem logical that they would surround themselves with a council of very wise people, maybe from both sides of the aisle, so there's some balance, so that they can come up with public policy regarding the economy. And doesn't that sound a lot like the Senate and the Congress and how that's supposed to work? But I don't see any of those discussions being carried on with goodwill between the parties involved.
There's not. And there's a really interesting historical fact about that that I read. Fascinating stuff. During World War II, Parliament was destroyed in Britain, and they had all kinds of plans to rebuild it in a much nicer way. And Winston Churchill said, absolutely not. You will rebuild Parliament the exact way it was. And it wasn't for nostalgia reasons. If you've ever been to the British Parliament or seen it on TV, it's basically a rectangle, and there are seats all around. And the opponents face each other, and they have very lively debates. The House of Representatives and the Senate in Washington are also built in the round, so that the different politicians will face each other. And if you've ever seen the Senate, those are actually desks that the old senators used to use. There were no Senate office buildings. The Senate chamber was their office, and there's also a gallery where the public can sit. And therefore, the way it was designed is that senators from different parties and different factions would spend their time debating in public the issues and air it all out and then ultimately come to decisions. Today, they all hibernate in their Senate and House office buildings with their staffs of, you know, two dozen more. Then they come to the chamber and they make a speech to an empty room that has a camera in it. And that's one of the reasons why the debate, the civic debate, is now underground. There actually isn't much debate. One way to cure our ills, and I say this tongue in cheek, is to eliminate the office buildings and force the senators and the House of Representatives to hang out together all day in the chamber. They would find a way to get things done.
Well, and there's, you know, Christians are labeled things like fundamentalists and everything else. So I always hate to use the word fundamental, but I know healthcare has been a major issue. You know, people object to Obamacare. They object to the way it was under George W. Bush. They object, period. But here's the fascinating thing. The people that are voting on healthcare are on a completely different healthcare system than what they're voting for us to have. And so it seems fundamental to me that if you are a senator or a congressperson, you need to be on the same healthcare system as your constituents.
Well, it's actually even more fundamental than that, which is the federal government constitutionally has no role in healthcare.
Great stuff. We're going to be back with more with Steve McKee right after these messages. Stay with us here on KNKT.
The Holy Spirit is mysterious. That is a scriptural fact. Jesus said he moves like the wind, and yet Christians are clearly instructed to develop a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, as Skip Heitzig reminds us.
You can't neglect the Holy Spirit, since the scripture is full of the Holy Spirit, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation.
Not only is the Bible full of the Holy Spirit, you can be too.
The Holy Spirit is a divine person who helps us. How many of you think you need all the help you can get to live your Christian life? Yeah, I'm with you. We need help.
Discover who the Holy Spirit really is and how He helps you with Pastor Skip's DVD study called Expound Holy Spirit. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift today to expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Plus, we'll also send you Skip's lifestyle booklet, Lust, How to Conquer It. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer. Or call 800-922-1888. This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
You see, the Bible would have you to understand a burial of a Jesus follower as being very much an acorn going into the ground that is not the end of the acorn. It's the beginning of an oak tree. It's the end of something, sure, but it's the beginning of something much bigger and much greater. That is to say that death is not the end of the road, but a bend in the road. We describe inaccurately where we choose to bury someone, and that's a difficult decision. You know, one of the most challenging things for us after our daughter passed away was all of the particulars of the funeral. And we knew she was in heaven because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we knew we were not burying our daughter. Our daughter was with Jesus. We were simply burying a body that she lived in. Okay, so you are not your body. You are a soul, and you have a body.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLesko.com.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
We have a job to do,
and you're coming with us, Spider-Man.
In the movie Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter Parker, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, is going on vacation. But bad guys? They don't take a holiday. This latest Marvel Universe chapter is a web-slinging adventure filled with tons of entertaining action. And there's a lot of self-sacrifice and heroism in the heavy-hitting mix. But team deceit, rude humor, and some rough-edged language can hit below the belt, especially for parents of younger superhero fans. I'll give the new Spider-Man a 3 out of 5 for family friendliness. Check out the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
At DreamStyle featuring Pella, we must sell 500 windows and doors by July 22nd. So we're passing incredible savings on to you. Buy one window or door, get the second 50% off. Or 3 years, no interest. We're only offering this discount and special financing until July 22nd. It will end sooner if we reach our goal, which means you have less than 3 weeks left to take advantage of our biggest savings of the year. At DreamStyle Remodeling, we guarantee an unbeatable customer experience, a superior product, and expert installation. Buy one window or patio door, get the second 50% off, or 3 years, no interest. Remember, this sale only applies to the next 500 units sold or until July 22nd. Dream Style Remodeling featuring Pella Windows and Doors. Call 373-0201 or visit DreamStyleWindows.com to schedule your free consultation. That's 373-0201.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Steve, we talk about the debates in Congress, and we talk about our own representatives here in the state, our local legislators and senators, and it's interesting what's happening in our state. So our state effectively turned blue this past election. So we have a Democrat governor, we have a Democratic mayor in the city of Albuquerque, the largest metro area in the state. We have Democratic
House and Senate.
All the leadership throughout New Mexico is basically Democratic. So one of the very first things that happened is Michelle Lujan Grisham led legislation. She went after gun control in our state. And to her surprise, out of the 33 counties in the state of New Mexico as of March 2nd, 21 of them, again, using the rhetoric of their own party, they declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, meaning we are not giving up our guns, you're not taking them, we believe in the Second Amendment. And that was a shocker to the state.
Yeah, I actually think it's up to 27 counties maybe, which is almost all of them. And it was a shocker. And one of the, if you want something encouraging politically in that, regardless of where you stand on the issue, it's that a lot of Democrat counties came out against the So it wasn't all partisan, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So you have Democrat county commissions saying, you know, and Democrat sheriffs saying no to Democrat, which just goes to show you that I'm becoming more convinced every day that the semantical issues of Democrat, Republican, red, blue are really bad. We got to get away from those. We really ought to be talking about the issues. But you're right. So you've got the whole sanctuary city movement, which generally the left is for, generally the right is against, and the left uses language to do. Now you've got the sanctuary county, you know, Second Amendment sanctuary county, which is using the same word and twisting it, which you can say is clever, or you can say is, it's just, okay, you know.
It's all manipulation. It really is. And what I don't understand is there's a lot of issues in New Mexico. So why don't you help us to focus on what are the central issues that the church should be paying
attention to? Many issues. In the last session, last legislative session, I heard somebody describe it as a culture of death, that there was the attempt to repeal the longstanding abortion laws in New Mexico, which would not only make abortion free and easy, even if Roe versus Wade was repealed, and some people think that that's in the offing, some people don't, but also would affect the conscience protections of medical providers. And so that's a real issue. Another piece of
and by the way, that was defeated, which was another shocker. It was defeated
by a whisker on the last day. So it's coming back. And another one that was defeated by a whisker on the last day was the right to die bill, which some people would call the duty to die bill, the assisted suicide bill, another extremely significant moral issue, regardless of where you stand on it. We had the tax increases that we just talked about and perhaps more to come. Those are issues. There's a big debate about marijuana legalization right now that also crosses party lines. There's plenty of people on the right, libertarian, Republican, that are for it. There are plenty of people on the left or Democrats that are against it and all points in between. The next legislative session, so they thought that they were going to legalize marijuana this session, and through a series of interesting events, it didn't pass. The governor has announced a commission now to basically draft the bill that is going to be passed in the next session. The next session is supposed to be just about budget issues, but a governor can put something on the call as they say whatever they want. And you could argue, you could really argue that this is a budgetary issue, because one of the arguments for it is that it'll raise a bunch of money. I would counter that argument, but that is a big issue. So if you feel strongly about DUI, marijuana, what it's going to do to our kids, or if you're for it, that's right there. We have a new ethics commission that we passed by constitutional amendment that is already creating some real interest in terms of who gets appointed and whether it's going to become a kangaroo court or not. That's up there. And then of course the tax breaks for the film industry, and there's just many, many, many issues that are live, whether you're driven by economics and you believe that job growth is really important, whether you're driven by social issues or both or all the above. These are right in front of us. And let me just put it this way. After the next legislative session, which means 10 months from now, maybe 9 or 8 months from now, February of next year, marijuana could be legal. Abortion could be without restriction even after, even if Roe versus Wade was overturned. The taxes could continue to go up, and there are just any number of other issues that are going to affect our lives.
And
our
if kids. You want to be involved, regardless if you're a person of faith or not, you need to start reading about these things right now.
There's an issue going on in our county that was just delayed, the sick leave ordinance. People have probably seen, the county commission was trying to ram through a mandatory paid sick leave, which would, again, it's a good, it's something we want. We want people to have sick leave, but the way they're doing it is going to cause a lot of jobs to go away. So people will not only not have sick leave, they won't have an income. And see, that's the debate. So let's have that debate, but let's not put our head in the sand and just let people make decisions without any review. And so that's why there are so many issues all the time. And no, you and I can't really do anything about China or Iran or North Korea,
sure,
right, other than vote for our congresspeople. But locally, it's all the time.
So if you right now cannot witness a debate between the powers that be, the people that we've elected, then where do you go for a source of information?
Well, in this day and age, it's plentiful. I mean, at a minimum, the local newspaper is a source of information. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about the mainstream news. It is a source of information, and if you're wise, you can filter it. One of the things I do appreciate about the Albuquerque Journal is they, on their editorial page, they represent both sides pretty well. But, you know, we have to read it with discernment. So many resources online, local think tanks. I don't really want to mention social media because it's such a minefield, but there are some really smart people who post things, you know, that you can get via Twitter and so forth. There is no shortage of information. It takes a discerning eye, to understand what's, you know, to use the term fake news and what's not. It's all over the place, but there's no shortage of information out there. And, again, many people are not sort of built that way. They don't go home and read newspapers and read books and, but podcasts, you know, there is, if you want to be informed, there's no shortage of ways you can be informed. And for what happens with a lot of people is if there's one particular issue that really gets your heart, then you can become an expert on it. And it doesn't take that much. And there's groups out there that work on those things. And I would just encourage us to do it. You know, one of the reasons the bills went down, the death culture bills went down is because, if I can use a phrase, Christians stormed the roundhouse. They showed up, both physically filling it up and via writing letters and making phone calls. And a lot of the legislators were like, whoa, you know. And the interesting thing is it doesn't mean that a majority of people were against those bills. What it meant was that the people who cared showed up. And so it caused enough legislators to say, I don't think I can do this. And that's glorious. But let me tell you, it's a lot easier to go to the polls than to storm the roundhouse.
But it's kind of the status quo of our culture in America, regardless of your station, where you come from. We, the dissenters create all the rhetoric and all the noise, and the status quo just kind of follow along until somehow they're threatened. And I think that's why these Second Amendment right counties or sanctuary counties have come into being, because they felt like their livelihood, their ability to protect themselves, their ability to hunt and just their traditions were being violated, and they weren't going to put up with that. So yeah, that shows a lot of courage.
It became very real to them. One of the problems with our politics, like when you talk about wage laws, it's easy to let the legislature or the city council raise minimum wages, for example. Sounds good. What you don't see is the people who get put out of work or not hired because of that. So unfortunately, Francis Schaeffer has this phrase. He talks about personal peace and affluence. That's what we're all about, personal peace and affluence. And if something doesn't impose upon that, we tend not to get active. But let me just send a shot across the bow of all the believers who are listening here. For those of us who follow Christ, that is our life, and that is our preoccupation, and that is, you know, we have eternal eyes and we understand things and politics, how we live together and the rules we make to live together on this earth is a piece of that. For people who don't have Christ, it's everything. It's everything. And so they are much more motivated than we are in some respects. And there's a saying that people get the government they deserve. We get the government we deserve. If we choose to sit on the sidelines, you know, Adolf Hitler came to power legally. He came to power legally. And World War II, Hitler's rise could have been prevented by the churches. Back before he was very powerful, the churches could have shut him down, but they didn't.
That is terrifying. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting back now thinking, okay, legislative session coming up in 10 months. So a lot to do right now. People need to read. They need to talk to their local representatives, their city councilors, their county commissions, and they need to really concentrate on forming an opinion about issues that matter to them. Now, none of us can be expert in any of this,
yeah,
but we can continue to dialogue, talk with your friends, and actually have an impact. It's not anymore just about going to vote. It's about being involved in the process, letting people know what you think, seeking through issues. And Steve, you're going to be visiting with us every couple weeks, and we appreciate your time very much. And we're hopeful that as we continue, people will start calling in and engaging us in this conversation. Thanks so much for being with us,
Steve.
Thank
you.
Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.